Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are privileged to be joined by a technology, I don't know what the words to use are, but you know, someone who's very knowledgeable and has been in the industry for a long time. And he often looks at where we are and where we're going to be going in terms of technology. And that's the type of a conversation we are hoping to be having with Dr. Setumo Mohapi, who is the Chief Go-to-Market Officer for technology firm Dimension Data. Dr. Setumo, greetings to you.
Good morning, Mudiwa. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
No. Thank you so much for being with us. I think a good place for us to, you know, maybe begin this conversation is during this lockdown period. We recently moved to level one in South Africa, but over the last 6 months, technology has really come to the fore. You've seen around the world, technology stocks have been rallying in US and European markets together with Asia. At the same time, technology has been a big enabler in the local market. As people are working from home, a lot of e-learning, and people just people not being able to come into contact with each other, relying more and more on technology for social reasons, but also at the same time for, you know, doing business. So I think, you know, just using that as a jumping off point, what have you seen? Where are we right now, you know, from your vantage point when it comes to how we're using technology and how technology has helped us to sort of go through this period of disruption?
No, thanks, Dewa. If there's anything, I mean, it's really, really what you've seen is a validation of the need to put a lot of effort in different in society in general on science and technology in general, or STEM in general. And I mean, I'll just give you a number of examples of how we've seen that play out. For example, during the early days of this pandemic, when it hit our borders, we had epidemiologists, for example, or mathematicians, perhaps even some of the public health scientists telling us how this pandemic was going to play out, so to speak, when it was going to peak and kind of and which areas, which geographies in the country it was going to hit as it moved away from Western Cape or into Eastern Cape and then moved north and then eastwards. Now, if you think about that, and I mean, if you, as it turns out, the predictions were fairly accurate. We knew that around this time, we would probably then be looking at the end stages of at least this current stage or this current pandemic. Hopefully we won't have another surge, but at least this first surge of the pandemic. Now, that was science playing out there. And underlying that, of course, there were a number of assumptions as well. Assumptions that we would respond to public health calls, to government calls on our own behaviors, for example, around respecting lockdowns, respecting, for example, social distancing, and undertaking certain new ways of dealing with hygiene and so on and so forth. And on the basis of those models, and on the basis of understanding our own society, scientists could then make those predictions. And those predictions were also based on understanding the strengths and weaknesses of our public health system as well, and also the strengths and weaknesses of our transport and logistics systems. Now, I'm talking about different fields of science and different applications of technology in those different fields of science in order for us to have come to the point where, unfortunately, we did have lots of deaths and we had enough information for us to be able to regulate ourselves in different settings within our work environments, within the business communities, for example, within our social settings and within the communities where we live in. And I mean, the science that played out there was the science of maths, the science of basic biology, for example, I mean, basic healthcare, public healthcare in particular, transport and logistics, as I said, economics are played out as well. So that was kind of it's just an example of that. And of course, technology plays a big part in that. For us to be able to run those models, we need a lot of, we need to apply the maths, we need a computational power, and that computational power is probably implemented in cloud-based systems. And some of that computational power may not even reside here. A lot of that computational power was being shared around the world as different countries and different societies were learning more and more and more about technology, which brings me to another element of science and technology development, which is the need to collaborate in the development of technology. So that's one aspect of it. The second aspect of it is really now on applied technology. I mean, for people like us who work in the space, we work on, I mean, our the value proposition of technology for us is our ability to be responsive to the needs of the society that we work with, our clients, the businesses that we face. And those needs can play out in many ways. They can play out in terms of strategic drivers, for example, on market growth for our clients, on revenue growth, on cost management, and so on and so forth. Or they can go, I mean, they can play out on the other extreme in terms of risk management. Risk management coming in from a security risk management coming from general business continuity drivers. For COVID, for example, when the lockdown came, the big problem there was how do we continue running our businesses under lockdown situations? And technology had to come up with different solutions. So one of the things that we were able to do was to quickly come up with solutions that allowed organizations to continue functioning as much as they could with their employees and their clients distributed into in their homes. So those are two examples of how kind of science and technology played out both in public policy space and also generally in the economy.
Outside of those two examples that you've given internally as a company, because you guys do operate in South Africa and across, you know, Africa and the Middle East, what has that experience been like in terms of, you know, just keeping the lights on, but also ensuring that people are kept safe, but at the same time that you are able to implement and come up with these solutions that you're talking about?
Yeah. So I mean, I'll give you a couple of examples. I mean, if I start working from home, I mean, let's start with the risk that businesses kind of face at an operational level. One of the biggest assets within businesses is data and information for different reasons. One, because we are required to keep that data safe by law, I mean, employee data and so on and so forth. Sometimes it's because, and on the other extreme is for our own competitive advantage, right? And now when I start working from home, the controls that I normally have at work around the security of the information that I use to conduct my work, the controls that I have at work all of a sudden don't exist at home. And generally speaking, people who would normally want to overcome those controls know that. So the first thing that we have to do when we enable people to work from home, in addition to giving them, and I'll come back to that, in addition to giving them access connectivity into their work environments, is to provide them first and foremost with secure access into the corporate environments, right? Now, if I'm working from home, I'm normally on a free Wi-Fi environment or free access environment where me and the family may be using my internet service there. And certainly I'm not very, very secure. So we created a very, very quick product that would allow our clients to access their work environments remotely in a secure way. The second thing, of course, we also saw during the period of lockdown a fairly a palpable increase in incidents of work environments being attacked attacked from an IT security perspective. And that is not random. I mean, that is we saw increases in the number of attempts to attack IT systems, and as a result of that, we also saw increases in successful attacks into IT systems. So we created a product that allowed secure access to work environments. The second thing, I mean, across the continent as well, was under the general term of business continuity. We know now, I mean, that 2020. Was probably the worst year on record in relation to load shedding, certainly in South Africa. On the rest of the continent, we know that we also had similar problems in terms of access to consistent access to power. So if I work from home, I can easily get disrupted. Productivity can easily go down just on the basis of inconsistent access to power. So one of the things that we also did was to, I mean, in that same product, that provided connectivity, that provided secure connectivity. We also provided access to a method for increasing consistency of power through basic backup power. The other part was when you are in a work environment, the normal work environment as we knew it then, one of the controls, one of the management issues, management work that we have to do is management of productivity. And you do it in many, many ways. I mean, you have physically around people, you can set up meetings, you can do kind of workshops if you want, and so on and so forth. When people are away from home, physically they are not there. And the question was always, how do we make sure that our employees remain as productive as they were before? So we needed to put in productivity management tools that could allow people and their managers to managers within the environment to manage effectively. And we were able to create that package, those capabilities in one package, and offer that to our clients. Now, coming back to the issue of technology, I mean, it's really about understanding the problem statement at a point in time and probably having the capacity to then create solutions fairly quickly to address those problems in time and being able to then roll out those solutions with agility. And that's kind of what we saw playing out. And I mean, we saw, I mean, that period required a lot of innovation. I mean, the good thing about technology progress is that every time there are problem statements out there in society, in the economy, you are always there. Technology is always, one can always create, and one always has opportunities to respond appropriately. And that's what we did.
So as Dimension Data, because one of the things that has happened, as you know, are highlighting with the different solutions that you did come up with, you guys were able to enable a lot of businesses to continue operating together with your own operations, your own staff, making sure that they're able to keep working and maintain relatively sound levels of productivity. So then, you know, going forward, because the technology is there and it does exist for people to be working remotely and for people to, you know, explore different ways of structuring their organizations or at least their relationships with clients or, you know, customers or even other stakeholders. How are you guys thinking about this issue of whether or not to return to the office?
Yeah. So, I mean, what we have seen, people talk about the kind of the new norm or even the evolution of the new norm and maybe different over time. But I think we now accept that it's the way of communicating and collaborating within different business subsystems, whether it's collaborating or communicating with on the supply side, whether communicating with businesses within the same industry, with employees, with clients, and so on and so forth. We have accepted that we can do it differently. I must say that some of the communication tools that I'm using now, I really was not using them. I mean, I probably once every 100 days. Now I use them almost on a daily basis. What is it that responding to? It's really responding to the ability now to be very, very flexible and agile in the way we share information and knowledge. It means that, in fact, we can support distributed work environments in a very deliberate way without reducing the quality of interactions or even human interactions or the quality of business interactions. I mean, of course, you will still always need that, you know, face-to-face interaction. But we now know that we can conduct business quite effectively and engage in interactions quite effectively with a combination of both remote and face-to-face communications. So, and how does this play out with businesses? We've seen some clients who are people who have decided to reduce the formal real estate of their formal work environments. We've seen people who are where they can do kind of hot desking within their business environments, where not everybody has to be at the office every day of the week. We've seen people who are able to distribute the work environments to being at home or being in nomadic workspaces in addition to their formal work environments. And every time people do that, I mean, there are certain fundamentals that have to be there from a business perspective, from a control perspective. Security is a fundamental. Wherever I'm working, even if I'm in a different environment, my access to corporate systems must always be secure. So what is playing out for us is, one, the infrastructure has to be solid. The infrastructure has to be flexible. The infrastructure has to be agile. Two, the operations have to be secure. And three, the clients are asking us now for a little bit more, instead of just selling, in addition to doing the normal transactional, providing them with transactional or interacting with them in a transactional way, they want us to be slightly more intimate with them so that we are able to provide them with more broad, what you call managed services on their IT estate, because of particularly the need for that IT estate to be flexible and agile and allow for distributed interactions within the different business value chains. So it is a very, very big change, I must say. There are a couple of other things that come out of that. For example, if I distribute the workplace, for example, sometimes I now need to start distributing, for example, my IT system so that it's quite responsive and I don't lose quality of service. I need to manage the resiliency of that distributed IT system. So technologies like cloud technologies, for example, start becoming answers to slightly different problem statements than they used to address before.
Dr. Setumo, I think one of the things that is really coming out in this conversation is, some of the, opportunities and threats that come from working in this particular environment. And I'm interested to hear your thoughts around some of the maybe opportunities that the current economy or the current environment might be able to bring. Because, for example, you've spoken a lot about security, and I'm guessing that security is an opportunity for those that can help an organization or, consumers to be more secure, that there is an opportunity on that end to just make sure that as people navigate a new environment, that they're able to do so, more securely, that there is some type of commercial opportunity there. What other opportunities are you seeing?
Yeah, so let's start with security itself. It's we have almost every week or so there is an article of some sort around a major breach of security in one way or another in the economy and society. So our view is that security is not just an offer that we have. Security is not about managing individual incidents. We work on a paradigm called secure by design, which is immerse yourself. Almost everything that you do, from the way you think about your business all the way to how you access the physical facilities of your workplace, again, a distributed workplace, should be secure. Because at the end of the day, security is really about, it's a fundamental element, fundamental driver for business continuity. And you cannot underestimate that. So in addition to being an opportunity, it is a real concern out there in society. And we are seeing it play out at a personal level. The security of my information, we provide a lot of personal information out there to businesses. Businesses require a lot of personal information from us in order for businesses to then create personalized products and services for us. And we want that, right? But as part of that social contract, we then have a responsibility to be able to manage the personal information that we get from our clients. Obviously, there's also the law as well. The law requires us, in addition to the social contract we have with the clients, the law requires us to then take care of the personal information that we get from our clients. And on the other extreme, we see it at in nation states as well. Whether for it's an observation, it's a reality, it is happening around the world where transactions are being pushed on the basis of, corporate transactions are being pushed on the basis of national security concerns. And the national security concerns is really about the location and possession of personal data of citizens of countries in the hands of companies that belong to or that are registered in other countries. And this is shaking the way businesses or nations, states are interacting with the global business environments. So it plays out across the board. And it's probably the single most important thing that businesses, particularly technology businesses like ourselves, have to respond to. That's one on one side. On the side, on the other side, I mean, what we see is the need for, I mean, this COVID thing really has decimated economies around the world, right? And whenever one has this kind of shocks in systems, you don't just trade yourself out of such shocks. And these shocks happen. I mean, sometimes they are once in a generation shocks. And on one side, we have gone through it, or we are going through it, and you know, we may find it unfortunate that we're going through it. But it's also an opportunity for us, as I mean, in the once in a generation opportunity for us to redefine the world, perhaps for the next generation or for the next 50 to 100 years, right? So after COVID, I mean, what happens? Can economies continue to operate with the same kind of cost structures that they used to operate before? Can businesses continue to operate on this on the basis of the same cost structures, the same methods of buying, the same method of operating? Certainly not. I mean, if the economy has, we have the economies that have been decimated the way they've been, and we're only going to see recovery in 18 months' time. If we don't do things fundamentally different today, then we're probably not going to survive. That's where innovation comes in from socioeconomic shocks, right? And so the question for us is, and that innovation normally will also come through technology, or technology will drive the way we then respond to those shocks. The question for us is, how do we as an IT company or as an industry then contribute to changing, almost giving a step change in the way that businesses operate? So is it about acceleration perhaps of your, for example, your artificial intelligence kind of techniques, services, technologies, applying them a little bit more broader and deeper into the way we run businesses? For example, automating certain a lot of more processes, applying, for example, natural language processing, for example, to enhance process automation within our environments, applying deeper machine learning, for example, to, again, bring a lot more efficiencies and a lot more intimacy in the way we do things, applying that in operational environments, applying that in CX, applying that in EX, applying that in terms of how businesses start strategizing and implementing strategic programs better. Absolutely, yes. And that the technology, therefore, that is needed for me in this new world, the new world that is needed to create a step change and to prepare us for a different type of cost structure, for example. The skill set that are required, they are fundamental to the skill set that are required, perhaps, or even the energy required to put and build those skill sets. That energy is very, very different to what we thought we would put about 8 months ago. If 8 months ago I had a digital transformation project, right, and I thought it would take me about 18 months or to even 24 months, and I probably would have staged in different ways. I would have said, okay, fine, I'm going to do digital, I mean, a migration of my workloads, and it's a very, very simple lift and shift, and maybe I'm going to kind of take my time doing modernization of my application environment. Right now, I probably don't have that much time. Right now, perhaps I can I'll go directly and start building my application environment native on the cloud in a distributed manner. And therefore, the way I then use capital is very, very different as well. Before, I could probably use, I could probably use my cash to kind of transition slowly into the new environment and still buy a bit of hardware and so on and so forth. But right now, certain situations, not all situations, I can actually go directly to a consumptive cloud-based model, right? So organizations that our opportunities there is to be able to jump, move as a consumer, almost fast track my digital transformation journey, and then as a supplier, be able to change the types of offers that I provide to my clients, and really be, and almost for the whole environment, for the whole of society, for the whole of the economy, to kind of accelerate digital transformation of those ecosystems. I think those are the two main opportunities that I see coming out of this thing, having been accelerated by this COVID pandemic. Yeah.
Dr. Mohapi, I think in the interest of time, we have time for maybe one or two more questions. And the first one really is that in sort of navigating this environment, you guys, before the lockdown actually came into effect, I mentioned Data had actually announced that it would be consolidating a number of its brands such as internet solutions under, just to be all under dimension data. And we just wanted to, maybe get your thoughts just around how that process has been, the progress, and if COVID-19 did anything to either disrupt that timeline or maybe it's accelerated the timeline. And especially, given all the different innovations that you've had to come up with during this time.
Yeah, no, so thanks for that. Yeah, I mean, we are now, operating as one Didi, certainly under one brand. And I mean, I just want to maybe just contextualize what we have done from a client perspective, right? I mean, you can imagine now that if you're a client and you want to, I mean, as a client, you consume a number of, generally, I mean, from an IT perspective, you for your business to run, you will need network services, you need security services, as we mentioned now, you need application services, you need to be able to understand your clients very, very well so that you can create personalized products for them. And you need to be able to take care of your talent and your employees very, very well, right? And create modern, productive workplaces, right? So, I mean, imagine now that you can come to one environment, like one Didi, and not only have a discussion with us that traverses a number of business problem areas. For example, you can talk to us right now about your strategic drivers on revenue growth or up here now, for example, on managing your underlying cost structures. And we can have one conversation with you that deals with your IT operations, that deals with your workplace environment, that deals with your client environment, and so on and so forth, and your security environment. Or you can come to us right now and say, look, I want to go deeper and have a more deeper operational discussion with yourselves around how I can improve the internal efficiencies of my operations. How do I go about doing that? And again, we can have one. We are now able to have a single conversation that traverses all aspects of technology. And lastly, we can come to us and want to have one conversation around governance and risk or even commercial matters, right? You can say to us that, you know what, the risk profile in my business environment has changed quite significantly. I want to be able to have different relationships with part of my ecosystem on the supply side, for example, supply chain side, or horizontally with my business partners, or internally, improve controls, right? And how do I go about doing that? You can implement that through the different aspects of technology offerings, or use technology differently. Once again, this is now what One Didi is able to offer our clients, something that we were not able to do easily in the past. Now, how has COVID done that? I mean, really, COVID has accelerated that. It has not, certainly it has not disturbed it. We are completely on schedule with all our programs. And what it has simply done is it called on us to look a little bit further in front of us and just not reorganize ourselves on the basis of changing the operating model, but also to respond like every other company really that is out there, respond to the new economics of the post COVID world. So, I mean, in a nutshell, we are all on track. I think we're certainly seeing a lot of benefits accruing to our clients. They're certainly liking the ability and the opportunity right now to have one conversation that traverses all their kind of business drivers. Yeah.
Just as a possible follow-up to that, in terms of the structure, does it mean that some of the existing household brand names that we knew associated with Dimension Data have already been collapsed in terms of, day-to-day trading, or are they still trading under, some of those brand names?
Yeah, certainly they're not trading under the old brand names, for sure. I mean, as of, for example, last Friday, all our email addresses changed and we are now all Dimension Data email addresses across the board. And I mean, there's just a few formalities that have to play out for the brands to be formally retired. But at an operational level, I mean, with everything that we do with our clients and so on and so forth, we certainly operating as one Dimension Data.
Okay. So I think that sort of helps us to come to the end. But briefly on the last point, cloud. How are you feeling about the cloud? I think that's one of those technologies we've heard a lot about in the last couple of years, but even more so during this COVID-19 period.
Yeah, no, I mean, cloud is has different aspects to it. And first of all, it's our reality. We understand its complexity. We understand that it's not a solution for everything, but it's a critical part of dealing with a number of business problems out there. There is cloud has a number of features there. There's the economics of it, the cost of just the incremental cost of accessing computational power, either it's for storage or it's for calculating things, or it's for doing higher order computation, for example, that you normally find in artificial intelligence kind of technologies, right? Just the incremental cost of accessing that computational power. The effort to be able to access that computational power, the time it takes. I mean, if I was to build a robot to do some kind of computation, for example, to automate some certain processes, if I had to build it in the old ways, it would take me so much longer than if I can access or make use of 80% of our capability that sit on public clouds already. There's also an issue about creating ecosystems and allowing for co-innovation. I could have a capability that is sitting on my platform. You could have a capability that is sitting on a different platform there. And all of a sudden with cloud, we are able to orchestrate our capabilities to create value very, very, very quickly. So that gives you that agility as well. So it is our reality. We know it's here and we're embracing it and we are building pretty much all our capabilities on the back of cloud. We are transforming our environment to be platform-based in terms of our offers so that once again, we can be able to create, build, and deliver value very, very efficiently with a lot of flexibility and agility to our clients. Yeah.
Cloud is a reality, and that's the world that we're living in. It's being baked into, you know, the way that products are being delivered. And those are the words of Dr. Setumo Mohapi, Chief Go-to-Market Officer for Dimension Data, giving us some insight into what it's been like running one of the biggest technology firms in the country during this, COVID-19 time. And also just a lot of thoughts just around how the economy has changed and how people and businesses are using technology to keep production alive, but at the same time, just make sure that they're able to continue doing business without too many disruptions. One of the things he's talking about is the fact that there have been a number of different opportunities, but at the same time, there have been a number of threats that have come through, especially on the side of cybersecurity. We've seen an increase in cases. I think most recently, we'll all know the Experian cyber attack that happened recently and a number of others that have come to the fore. And he's just talking about the fact that, with the way that they're designing their technology, they have it. It's security by design. It's baked in. It's not something that is offered separately. And also just talking about what operating their business has been like, because they have been ongoing during a period of transformation for the company as they seek to align all their brands under the Dimension Data brand. And he's just saying that, effectively, going through COVID-19 has not really slowed them down in terms of that process. And it's one of those things that's going to help them to engage with clients better.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
A fascinating discussion with Dr. Setumo Mohapi of Dimension Data around business and technology. And some key takeaways, the first one just around cybersecurity. It's really come to the fore in the last couple of months as people have moved, a lot of people that were office bound moving their work to working from home or remotely. That presents a security risk because most of the time, private networks that people have in their homes tend to be, yes, there are those people that invest in security at home, but for a lot of consumers, private networks and home networks tend to be less secure than enterprise or office level systems, because offices, companies, organizations tend to have large IT departments and they're investing in firewalls and large security packages, to protect themselves. And these are some of the considerations, and it might explain why there has been that rise in some of these attacks that are happening out there in the world. The other one to consider just when you hear some of the solutions that Dimension Data and a number of different companies have been able to create in light of COVID-19 to help their clients and enterprises to work from home or remotely in this distributed manner, it makes you wonder what justification organizations are going to have people coming back to the office, to have people coming back and, you know, spending time in traffic and spending money on fuel. Because if the last 6 months has taught us anything at all, is that it is possible for people to work remotely from home and still achieve high levels of productivity. Anything to the contrary will be seen most likely by employees and other interested parties as micromanaging on the one end, and two, an economic incentive of companies just simply trying to recoup their costs on rent spent on buildings and campuses that a number of these companies have. But unfortunately, the last 6 months, as I said, has taught people that this thing is possible, that there isn't that need to be spending time in traffic, spending money on fuel to be, you know, doing those commutes in and out. So going forward, it will be interesting to see how this technology conversation does continue, because technology is an enabler, but there's no use of it if you're not going to allow it to enable a different way of doing things. So in people trying to get back to normal, quote unquote, these are some of the things that I think companies are going to be grappling with. We heard just the other day when we spoke to the CEO of Vox, Jacques Dutoit, that they have just taken a decision that leases are just going to continue. They'll check back on this matter in 6 months, but they've given their employees the option to keep working from home. Other companies around the world, a big one is Netflix. The CEO Reed Hastings has been quite vocal to say that he wants his people to come back, and his argument is that it's a creative company, it's a creative environment, we need more collaboration, we need people to engage with each other face to face. And that's all good and well, but going forward, you know, just the fact that people do know that it is possible to work from home, it will be a hard one to justify. So that's been it in terms of this discussion. Thank you so much to Dr. Mahapi for being with us. So that's it. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the Podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modihima Shimaete. I've been Muliwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.